Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. Today, the weather across Jakarta is relatively sunny and the activities of the Jakarta people are quite good. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news, read by Stefanus. Here's the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia's political condition prior to 2019 general election. Indonesian President Joko Widodo recounts 9-hour flight from Aceh to Wamena. Now the news in detail. The political situation in Indonesia during 2018 went smoothly with the ongoing regional head elections or simultaneous regional elections in 171 regions throughout the country. Senior researcher at Indonesian Institute of Sciences Siti Zuhro, during a special interview with RRI World Service in Jakarta on Wednesday, explained that the simultaneous implementation of 2018 regional election ended well, without any prominent conflicts related to ethnicity, religion, race, and intergroup.
Pilkada 2018, pilkada serentak di 170.
The 2018 regional election, simultaneous regional elections in 171 regions, which carried out in East Java, West Java, and Central Java, were successful since there were no chaos, conflict, no issues with happy ending. We can witness the very elegant contestation shown by the candidates, such as in Central Java, East Java, West Java, as well as in other regions, such as Bali, North Sumatra, and West Kalimantan, even those predicted will occur the Sara conflict. Furthermore, Siti Zuhro explained that simultaneous regional elections in Indonesia in 2018 were the main capital for Indonesian government in carrying out the presidential and vice presidential general elections, members of the House of Representatives, regional representatives, and members of the regional house in 2019. Meanwhile, on the same occasion, Christine S. Shin, the senior researcher for the Center for Strategic and International Studies, appreciated the 2018 simultaneous regional elections were running smoothly and peacefully. In addition, the level of voters' participation in the simultaneous regional election in 2018 increased by 72.6%, and the majority of them were women. Christian believed that the 2019 election will also run smoothly and peacefully without significant conflict due to the high level of community participation, especially women, and the high awareness of the Indonesian people who were not easily provoked by false news or hoaxes. Indonesian President Joko Widodo recounted his experience of flying for 9 hours and 15 minutes from Aceh at the westernmost tip of Indonesia to the easternmost tip of Indonesia, which is Wamena. Speaking to Kiai, a religious preacher, ulama, and santri or Islamic students at Darul Ulum Islamic Boarding School in Jombang, East Java, the president said it was far away, similar to flying from London to Istanbul through 7 countries, hinting that Indonesia is a big country. While attending the Haul Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani Memorial and Gathering of Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Darul Islamic Boarding School caregivers Ulum in Jombang Peterongan East Java on Tuesday, he said the long travel from Aceh to Wamena was only to give a picture how vast the country is and it needed to be maintained. The president said the nation's size is a gift that must be maintained. Head of the Agency for Policy Assessment and Development or BPPK, Ministry of Foreign Affairs Siswo Pramono in Bandung West Java on Tuesday said that countries in Southeast Asia already have strong mechanism in developing defense diplomacy. After giving a public lecture on defense diplomacy in the Asia-Pacific region at Ahmad Yani University, Bandung, West Java, Siswo Pramono said that the mechanism of cooperation in ASEAN has succeeded in maintaining security and stability in the region, so that there have no other war for the last 50 years. However, Siswo Pramono added, Indonesia and the countries in the region need to strengthen cooperation, especially for strategic industry development. It is necessary to update technology development that continuously increase.
Pertama, mekanisme ASEAN sudah ada.
Firstly, ASEAN already have mechanism. Secondly, we also need to increase 2+2 cooperation with Japan and OSI. It is expected from the cooperation many technology can be transferred to Indonesia. To develop strategic industry, it is needed new technology such as cooperation between Pindad and OSI. Furthermore, Siswo Pramono said that defense diplomacy is a system that uses all elements of defense and military to maintain peace. Related to the matter, Siswo gives an example of Indonesia's high commitment in peacekeeping operation. Indonesia's membership as United Nations Non-Permanent Security Council of 2019 until 2020 period, also part of Indonesia's commitment in keeping peace of the world through defense diplomacy. Dutch Ambassador to Indonesia Rob Swartpool stated that Indonesia, Australia, and the Netherlands are the middle powers with a strong belief in the role of international law from a geopolitical perspective. In many fields, Indonesia, Australia, and Netherlands are witnessing rising tensions and developments that erode global rules. Over the last 2 days, members of renowned think tanks and universities of Indonesia, Australia, and Netherlands have been discussing this. The dialogue is expected to develop proposals for trilateral cooperation to promote the rules-based order in the wider Indo-Pacific region, according to the ambassador. Meanwhile, an initiator of Indonesia, Australia, and the Netherlands policy dialogue, Ernesto Bram, revealed that the trilateral dialogue discussed support for ASEAN centrality, rules observatory standards development, cybersecurity, joint strategy consultation, and diplomatic training. The event brings together various officials and academic experts from the three participating countries. Indonesian Foreign Ministry held a diplomacy festival in Bandung, West Java. This is the third event in 2018 after successfully held in Yogyakarta and Surabaya. Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi on Wednesday in Bandung said that the diplomacy festival is aimed to introduce Indonesian people, especially young generation, about foreign diplomacy activities that has been done by Indonesian government. The event called DiploFest is also aimed to show that Indonesian government hold people's aspirations as priority in foreign politics of Indonesia. Through DiploFest, Minister Retno said the government also utilized the diplomat's capability in empowering students as Indonesian next generation.
Intinya adalah, kenapa kegiatan ini dilakukan? Karena, pertama, agar masyarakat paham.
The activity is carried out because it is firstly to make people understand what is being done with our diplomacy. Secondly, to make people understand that public interests are considered and included in the policies of our foreign policy. For example, our partnership with Palestine and protection issues. Thirdly, utilizing the expertise possessed by Indonesian diplomats to empower the students, for example, on the issue of debate and protocol, since students have many activities which require understanding on protocol info. This series of DiploFest Bandung activities began on Tuesday, December the 18th, with public lecture that raised the topic around the work of Indonesia's diplomacy and foreign policy. Echelon 1 officials from Foreign Affairs Ministry was present as speakers at 6 universities in Bandung. In addition, the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi also gave a public lecture entitled Talk Show with #MenluRetno at Pajajaran University, Bandung. On the occasion, the visitors have opportunity to explore various diplomatic practices directly in the DiploFest booth area. The area is divided into several activities, namely diplomates, talking points, protocol 101, friends of Indonesia and EduFair, and talk shows. Indonesia will not join the Islamic Military Counter-Terrorism Coalition, a military alliance since the country's 1945 constitution states that Indonesia is a non-aligned nation. It would be difficult for Indonesia to join a military alliance as the country is a non-aligned one, in line with its constitution, Syafri Syamsuddin, the former Deputy Defense Minister, stated here on Wednesday in response to a question on whether Indonesia will join the Islamic Military Counterterrorism Coalition. Indonesia shared a similar understanding with Islamic Military Counterterrorism Coalition on terrorism, which is a major problem in Muslim-majority countries. Syafri Syamsuddin revealed that Vice President Muhammad Yusuf Kalla disagreed if Indonesia joined the military alliance. Indonesia will, however, seek another form of cooperation in counter-terrorism. Meanwhile, Islamic Military Counter-Terrorism Coalition Chief General Rahid Sharif informed the Indonesian delegation that terrorism had transcended the country's borders and Islam had frequently been systematically related to increased terrorism and extremism. Manpower Minister Hanif Dakiri has made assurance that the number of foreign workers employed in Indonesia is not more than 100,000. Minister Hanif Dakiri noted at a function marking International Migrant Worker Day held at Cikembar Village, Sukabumi District, West Java on Tuesday. He said the government had restricted the activities of foreign workers in Indonesia, including banning them from setting up a manpower organization. In addition, the government only allowed foreign professional workers to work in Indonesia in accordance with their educational backgrounds. With the information on the number of foreign workers, the public will be able to gain an objective understanding of foreign workers employed in the country. The number of foreign workers is accurate, and the people are urged not to be easily provoked by the issue of foreign nationals employed in the country. Meanwhile, the number of Indonesian migrant workers employed abroad reached 9 million, according to the World Bank data. All Indonesian migrant workers employed abroad are protected in accordance with the Law No. 18 of 2017 on the protection of Indonesian migrant workers. The Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, has inaugurated 3 research professors who work at the Oceanographic Research Center, the Political Research Center, and LIPI's Botanical Gardens Conservation Center. The 3 researchers who were inaugurated here on Tuesday include Dr. Zainal Arifin, Dr. Trinuka Pujiastuti, and Dr. Didik Widiatmoko. The 3 researchers are engaged in marine pollution and bioremediation, politics and ASEAN migration management, and plant conservation, respectively. In his speech, Arifin stated that industrialization, urban development, and urbanization were the most significant factors affecting the quality of coastal ecosystems. Arifin pointed out that there were 3 important data that should be obtained, namely specimens of heavy metals in sediments, development of bioculture of species, and development of heavy metal toxicity contained in local species. Well, listener, that was the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary. And today's commentary is on 40 years reform in China, trade war with the U.S. continues. China signaled that there would be still a trade war with the United States. Chinese President Xi Jinping implied it in a speech commemorating 40 years of reformation in the country in the presence of leaders of the Chinese Communist Party in Beijing on Tuesday. In his speech, the president of China stressed that no other party could dictate the course of the country's economic development. In Washington, U.S. President Donald Trump called for China to stop trading practices that are considered unfair. Trump also urged Beijing to stop the practice of intellectual property rights theft and carry out comprehensive reforms. So it was not a coincidence that in his speech, Xi Jinping stressed that his country could not be dictated by anyone. The speech delivered by the president of China is a sign that the country with the most population in the world will continue to try to be a driver as well as the central global economy to shift the role of the United States. The assertion that no country may dictate China's economic policy has confirmed Beijing's position in the face of trade wars with the United States. What was said by both Donald Trump and Xi Jinping could be a warning to other countries to anticipate the situation and global economic development into 2020. As many economists predict, trade wars between China and the United States will be a major factor in the slowdown in the world economic development in 2020.
The world economy in 2020, especially in developing countries that have China or the United States as their main partners, will be affected by the economic relations between the two world economic giants. Well, that was commentary today. On 40 years reforming China, trade war with the U.S. continues. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from the Day of State Defense on December 19. President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, through Presidential Decree No. 28-2006, stipulated December 19 as the State Defense Day. The December 19 was decided as the State Defense Day since the Indonesian Emergency Government was established by Mr. Safruddin Prawira Negara in West Sumatra on December 19, 1948. On that day, the nation's heroes risked their lives and bodies defending the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia amidst the shock of the second Dutch military aggression. We now turn to the Day of Trikora, or Three of People's Command. The Day of Three of the People's Command, Trikora, is a national special day to commemorate the two-year conflict launched by Indonesia to unite the western part of Papua. On December 19, 1961, President Sukarno announced the implementation of Trikora in Yogyakarta Square. Trikora, namely, 1. Failed the establishment of the Papuan puppet state made in the Netherlands. 2. Hoisting the red and white flag in West Irian Indonesian homeland. And 3. Prepare for public mobilization to maintain the independence and unity of the state and nation. The last historical story about an incident of Silk Air 185 plane crashed in Palembang area. On December 19, 1997, Silk Air 185 Boeing 737-300 carrying 97 passengers and 7 cabin crew fell on the Musi River, Palembang, South Sumatra. All aircraft passengers and crew were killed. Not long ago, a black box was discovered and brought to the United States. The U.S. authorities announced that the accident occurred due to a suicide pilot. But the writing of the late Professor Utaryo Diran, former chairman of the National Transportation Safety Committee, entitled Silk Air 185, The Untold Story, contains another story about the cause of the accident. Diran, who was involved in the investigation process, assessed that the accident had something to do with the condition of the Boeing aircraft. He did not mention anything about indications of suicide. That was Today in History.
aku pun akhirnya merasakan bahagia. Ku anggap semua itu karena aku semata. Aku nafikan dia dan juga ku lupakan dia. Tak sadarkah aku
of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and vinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Today's edition, I will bring a topic about Indonesia, China, and India collaborate in increasing tea industry. The largest tea-producing countries as well as tea consumers in Asia, namely Indonesia, China, and India, agreed to establish cooperation in developing tea commodities. One of manifestations from the collaboration includes a joint campaign to increase consumption of high-quality green tea and black tea in the global market, especially in Europe, the United States, and the Middle East. The collaboration is contained in a Memorandum of Understanding conducted by the Indonesian Tea Marketing Association, China Trade Marketing Association, and representatives of the Indian Tea Association in Jakarta on Monday, December 17. The signing of the Memorandum of Understanding is part of the Asian Tea Conference organized by Business Watch Indonesia. The agreement mentions the form of cooperation that will be implemented, namely the development of a jointly acceptable framework for tea sustainability in Asia based on the Sustainable Development Goals, ecosystem conservation, and product safety. In addition, all parties will strengthen partnerships by building mutual platform. The forum is aimed for consultation for stakeholders, including the government, so that they will create an understanding related to the structural conditions of international markets and long-term trends in production and consumption. This is also aimed to balance supply-demand, produce fair prices both for consumers and producers, chairperson of Indonesian Tea Marketing Association, Katalia Randing, after signing the Memorandum of Understanding. Director General of Domestic Trade, Ministry of Trade, Cahya Widayanti said that the local tea products are now able to compete and being a leading product in its own country. Cahya Widayanti also said that the Trade Ministry continued to increase the quality products, including tea. The ministry continues to try to open wider market access, especially for the global market. That was my Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia. Of Indonesia.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz www.envoynews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you a typical food from Banten. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on www.voinews.id. Or you can also hear through frequency of 3325 kHz. Banten is a province in Indonesia which rapidly develops. The province that was a part of West Java province also experiences development in various fields such as tourism. A lot of quite popular tourism destinations in Banten are crowded by tourists. For example, Tanjung Lesung Beach, Badui Hamlet, and many others. Not only natural tourism destination, but also Banten culinary is also thriving. One of Banten typical culinary is angen lada. Angen lada is Banten typical food, which is actually from Sundanese tribe. Angen means vegetable, while lada means spicy. So, angen lada is vegetable which has spicy flavor. The main material of this food is tribe cow, which is mixed with vegetable. The main ingredients is typical leaf called walang leaf. This leaf has very strong aroma. Other ingredients are red onions, candle nut, garlic, and galanga. Banten people usually serve angen lada as obligatory dish in great celebration, such as Eid al-Fitr. In addition, the food is usually served during a family gathering. Thus, it is enough to prove that angen lada is one of Banten typical food which has an important role. Even angen lada has been determined as intangible cultural heritage by Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. The determination was signed on September 14, 2016. Angen lada, the intangible cultural heritage from Banten, is worth testing. If you have a plan to visit Banten, please set your time to try angen lada. You can find angen lada at Sukarel Pandeglang Square on Jalan Curug Sawer, Pandeglang, Banten. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Setiap kisah, entah mengapa selalu aku dipaksa jadi yang kalah, bahkan mengalah kamu. Tinggalkan aku kehilanganmu, semangat hidupku di dirimu, di dirimu. Pagi menjadi siang, siang menjadi malam, malam kembali jadi pagi. Tapi tidak cintamu yang tak jua kembali, aku masih sangat berharap. Di setiap kisah mengapa selalu aku dipaksa jadi yang kalah, bahkan mengalah kamu. Tinggalkan aku kehilanganmu, semangat hidupku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development and Cultivation Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is pukul setengah lima or half past hour. Next is a conversation about pukul setengah lima or at half past four. At Joko's house, Tony and Dinda are discussing about Tony's experience when he watched sunset from the top of Borobudur Temple.
Kemarin dari hotel, pergi ke candi pukul berapa?
Kira-kira pukul setengah lima pagi. 30 menit kemudian, saya tiba di puncak candi Borobudur. Pukul lima lebih, matahari keluar dari balik pegunungan. Indah sekali.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Pukul berapa kamu berangkat dari hotel ke Candi Borobudur? Pukul berapa kamu berangkat dari hotel ke Candi Borobudur? In English, what time do you leave from hotel to the Borobudur Temple? Kira-kira pukul setengah lima pagi. Kira-kira pukul setengah lima pagi. In English, about at half past four. 30 menit kemudian, saya tiba di puncak Candi Borobudur. 30 menit kemudian, saya tiba di puncak Candi Borobudur. In English, 30 minutes later, I arrived at the top of the Borobudur Temple. Pukul 5 lebih, matahari keluar dari balik pegunungan. Pukul 5 lebih, matahari keluar dari balik pegunungan. In English, at 5 o'clock, the sun came out from behind the mountains. Indah sekali. Indah sekali. Very beautiful. In the dialogue between Tony and Dinda, when Dinda asked Tony about at what time he left for the temple, Tony answers, kira-kira pukul setengah lima pagi. Kira-kira pukul setengah lima pagi. The half past four in the morning has the same meaning as 4:30. There are some expressions that can be used to mention the time, such as pukul empat lebih 30 menit or 30 minutes past four. Pukul empat 30, 4:30. Pukul setengah lima, half past four. Pukul empat lebih 45 menit, 4:45. Pukul empat, 4:05, 4:45. Pukul lima kurang 15 menit, 4:45. Pukul lima kurang seperempat, 4:45. Then Tony said, 30 menit kemudian, saya tiba di puncak Candi Borobudur. In English, means 30 minutes later, I arrived at the top of Borobudur Temple. From today's expression, we can see another way to mention the time by saying duration of time, then followed by the word kemudian or sebelumnya, such as saya pergi pukul 6. 20 menit kemudian, saya tiba di sana. In English, I left at 6 o'clock. 20 minutes later, I arrived there. Well, listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Kemarin dari hotel, pergi ke candi pukul berapa?
Kira-kira pukul setengah lima pagi. 30 menit kemudian, saya tiba di puncak Candi Borobudur. Pukul 5 lebih, matahari keluar dari balik pegunungan. Indah sekali.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back in the music corner, a musical segment which introduces you to some regional songs from a musical group, namely Stereomantic. To initiate our program Music Corner, let's listen to a song Pergi Jauh, sung by Stereomantic. Stay with us, RI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, which can be heard through live streaming on www.voinews.id or RI Play application. Listener, you have just listened to a song entitled Pergi Jauh by Stereomantic. The song Pergi Jauh narrates about the anxiety of a woman because her love lasts unwell. Besides through its lyric, the anxiety explained by Stereomantic is through the vocal style of an anxious woman. Therefore, the musical accompaniment of Pergi Jauh heard gleefully. So the song impresses ironically. Stereomantic is a musical group from Jakarta which was established in 2006. At the beginning, its members were only Arul, electronic synth and guitar, and Maria Ferrari vocal. Both of them carried on pop electro music. The name of Stereomantic was taken by a word stereo that means balance, and romantic means romantic. Integrally, the name of Stereomantic depicts about double, which can make romantic work strongly, both in music and lyric sides. Listener, here is a song entitled Insomnia by Stereomantic. Listener, that's the song entitled Insomnia by Stereomantic. The song is in the third album of Stereomantic, Golden Sun and Silver Moon. Their characteristic is mellow song arranged with happy music. The lyric tells about memory that haunts until now. It has been for 2 years, but the memory still makes them insomnia. Time by time, Stereomantic has done some changes. In 2011, Stereomantic released acoustic nuance works. To support its works that changes its genre, Stereomantic often involves additional musical player such as Uga for drum, Ardy Smith for bass, Sonny for flute, Seno for trumpet, and Jolie for trombone. Stereomantic gets positive response from Indonesian musical lovers, both from recording and stage performance. Well, listener, we end Music Corner for today's edition by a newly released song in November 2018, namely 11-11. Stereomantic keeps on musical electro lined on the song. Happy listening and bye-bye!
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.